Seamus Close formal alliance politician. Good morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts?
Anger, emotion, disgust, and also the thing that particularly perturbs me and annoys me this morning is the lack of comment coming from the church this morning, because that demonstrates to me that they're continuing with a culture of cover-up. They're continuing in their silence, and silence is cover-up. And the question that I want to pose in all sincerity is, where are the good priests, the good bishops, if there are any? Why aren't they crawling onto the airwaves this morning, demonstrating that this is what happened is not in their name, that they are disgusted? But what have we got? The alternative, as already been pointed out in your programme, Brian D'Arcy was chastised, was effectively silenced. Everything he says has got to be vetted by people in Rome. Why? Because he asked some questions. Well, I have some questions to ask too, because this same individual who is now Cardinal Sean Brady, who's pleading that he was only a wee simple priest, let alone the fact that he was a canon lawyer, as I understand it, back in 75, that he was there to investigate. Following his silence, his lack of direct action, which was brought out in that programme last night, following that, he was elevated first to the position of Archbishop, then to the position of Cardinal. And a Cardinal is known, is recognised, is seen, is referred to as a prince of the church. A prince of the church. And he was put in that position by whom? By the head of the church. So, you know, am I too much of a cynic to ask the question, was this a reward for silence? Was this a reward for not doing the proper thing? For keeping the good name of the church in good standing? Rather than dealing with the pain, the hurt, and the disgusting things that happened to those young children. That's why I'm angry.
I can hear how angry. I can hear how hurt you are, Seamus.
Yeah, well, when something that is precious, and when something that you have believed in for your whole life is shown effectively and potentially to be a sham, to be totally un-Christian. Because all this talk about there were no guidelines in 1975, that is a load of patent nonsense. Because the guidelines are supposed to come from Christ. And as I understand the gospel, and I wouldn't put myself up as a person who wears their religion on their sleeve and runs around with Holy Joe, but my understanding of it was that Christ himself said that anybody who scandalizes young people, it would be better if a millstone were put round their neck and they were cast into the sea. He wasn't equivocating. He wasn't cutting short what he felt. He wasn't diminishing the pain, the anguish, the suffering, the hurt that can be committed against young people. He was quite forthright. He was quite dramatic in what he said. But yet we have princes of the church and higher hiding behind silence and coming up with pathetic excuses that are meaningless and coming up with some of those excuses. That last statement from the church that said that they were doing this to protect the integrity of the statement or whatever it was to protect young Boland. This is 2012. They had 37 years to come up with that statement. 37 years to concoct that type of shallow, facile nonsense to try to give a cover-up and give vent to their lack of action.
Seamus, there are many different areas of that documentary to probe and to talk about. Another one is the fact that the Catholic Church, and I understand this was a long time ago, but does that matter? The Catholic Church asked a 14-year-old to sign an oath of silence, and his father was sitting outside the room, not allowed in.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable, except we know from the documentaries and that happened. It is totally and absolutely unacceptable. And to say, oh, in 1975 we didn't know any better, and I paraphrase somewhat, I accept that, but to infer that they didn't know anything, and then to go on and continue to call themselves a Church of Christ. A Church of Christ. Christians. Followers. And the outcome following all this, all these revelations of abuse that has permeated the church over all those years was what? Was a letter from the Pope following him getting all the bishops and all over to Rome, where they had to, you know, go through the procession and kiss the Pope's ring and all this other nonsense. The outcome of that was a letter calling on us all as Catholics to be more penitent. Calling on us, again, passing responsibility, passing the buck onto ordinary, decent Christian people, that it was their fault because they were somehow or other becoming less Catholic than they were in the 1960s, when it was in the 1960s that the clergy were perverting the young people. Yeah, I mean, come off it. Get real. Wise up. And again, I say, for God's sake, in the name of the church, let the good priests come out and distance themselves from the nonsense that's going... Sorry, that's the wrong word. It's not nonsense. It's too serious to be referred to as nonsense. In today's papers, Stephen, in today's papers, there's also another story that refers to a Rupert Murdoch, that a committee found to be unfit to run a major organisation because of phone hacking. Now, let's try for a moment to compare phone hacking with the abuse of children. They're on a different spectrum altogether.
She was the role of any parent is to protect and care for and to be there for their children when they are in danger. Can you tell me what your natural reaction is to your church not telling that parent, not informing that parent that their child had been abused?
Absolute disgust, and something that is unforgivable. And I know, in using the word unforgivable, that Christ was forgiving. But, you know, you have to repent and you have to forgive and you have to mean it. The demonstration over this past 30, 40 years by the church has been the example of how to cover up and run away from their responsibilities, run away from the actions of some of their clergy.